Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to the Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus it will be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Last Sunday, about this time, I was sitting in my room in the rectory nursing a very serious case of disappointment. 2 Sundays ago, Father Nick and I and several other priests in the city and the bishop went to a conference, and I came back from the conference and I was excited because, you know, for the last 11 months, I've not really been here very much, and I've been frustrated about it, and I was excited by the conference, and I'd been planning for weeks for this to be kind of the great reset for the parish, that I'd come back with all kinds of ideas, and we'd get energized again, we'd have things to do, and then Wednesday, I got back from the conference and immediately got COVID. Or rather, discovered that I had had COVID while at the conference, and so became patient zero for priests from all over the country. You're welcome, parishes along the Eastern Seaboard. So I was very, very disappointed because I got back and I was now teeming with all these ideas and having all these high hopes and all these great plans and designs, and I couldn't tell anybody because I was locked in my little room. And so I sat there in my room, surrounded by my books and my papers, all the resources that I use to help me understand if I'm being a good pastor, to help give vision and clarity and a path for the future for the parish. And I realized none of it matters. None of it matters. That isn't to say it isn't important to plan for things. It isn't to say that there aren't things that you learn from things like conferences. That isn't to say that none of my books count for anything. But it's not what matters to God. God doesn't really care how many books are on my shelves, or even whether I've read all of them all the way through, though I have most of them. God doesn't really care whether we reframe the parish mission statement this way or that way, whether we craft a vision that is perfect and articulate and would win awards in an MBA program someplace. He doesn't care what the next program is that we start here. He doesn't care whether we make the goal for the ADA. He's not really concerned with the success of the next capital campaign. These are all important things. They're all important things. But none of those are what matters to God. How do we know that? Listen again to the parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. So he asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space enough to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and say to myself, 'Now is for you. You have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.' Drive any direction outside the city of Des Moines and you will hit one of these barns, I promise." But God said to him, "You fool. This night your life will be demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, to whom then will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." Now Jesus doesn't say, at least clearly here, what does matter to God. Now, I suspect that if I polled everybody here, you're here on a Sunday, you've got some ideas about what you think God actually cares about, right? Like we think God cares about how we treat each other. Fair. You're here on a Sunday morning, you probably think God cares at least some measure about like religious observance. Good. Yeah. Yeah. God cares about whether we're building a more just and peaceful world. God cares about sacraments and the way his grace is meted out to his people. He cares whether your priest is a big jerk or not. Yeah. But I don't think that's what matters most to God. God said to him, "You fool." And you recall, Jesus does not like people calling one another fool. He has rather strong words about that. So if God is calling this guy a fool, God is angry. We don't get angry about things or at people we don't care about. You don't need to. You only get angry if you care. And this is the only real emotion that we're seeing in the story, except anxiety on the part of the rich guy. No, I think what matters most to God, I think what this parable is saying, maybe obliquely, but really, truly, I think what matters most to God is the rich guy. And the reason he's so upset is because this guy could do better. This guy didn't have to turn out like this. This guy made choices, and those choices made him into something less than he could be. What matters most to God is this: the salvation of the individual human soul. What matters most to God is this: you. 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 You matter more to God than anything else in the world. You as an individual, and then, of course, all of us collectively. But first, you as an individual. These parables, no matter how many characters there are in them, there's always one person who's the heart of it. God cares about the individual, and he wants to save us. Together, as a body, of course, but he wants to save us personally, because he wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Jesus didn't die for an idea or an ideal. He didn't die for principles. He didn't die to change social structures or even to sort of forensically change God's mind or something. God died out of love for you. the most important thing you can ever know about yourself or the world you live in is that you matter so much that the master of the universe, the Lord of all things, the creator of heaven and earth, lived, suffered, and died out of love for you. In light of that, everything else pales. That's what Kahalith is talking about. Vanity of vanities. None of it seems worth it. It's all dross. It's all garbage in light of that prime value. So all the things that we value and think are important, all the things that where we spend most of our energy, like the guy in the story, making sure that we have enough retirement saved up, making sure that us and our families are secure and safe, making sure that we look the way that we want to, or our bodies are built the way that we plan, making sure that our lives turn out the way that we'd set out, that we get the degree or the promotion or the job, that we marry the person that we intended to and not somebody else. All of those things are not unimportant, but they're only important in light of this primary value. You. This is not the narcissism of our age that just wants to give you a participation medal for showing up. No, this is far deeper. This is far deeper. People don't die over participation medals. No, this is because you're worth it. The voices in the back of your head, the naysays that creep in and whisper and say, you know how stupid you are, don't you? Like, you remember what you did last week. You're never going to succeed in a relationship. Look at the last 10 you had. Job, like, look at what happened at school. You're never going to amount to anything. All of those voices are from the devil. They're not real. They're deceits that are meant to make you less. You'll never have enough money. You should save all the money you get. You'll never have enough. You'll never have enough time. You should guard your time carefully. Don't volunteer. Don't agree to do anything, especially if it's the priest who asked you. Don't waste your time praying. You know he never answers. Lies. Lies. But we give into them so quickly. We see to the anxiety so quickly. And that's the problem with this guy. Jesus doesn't condemn him for being rich. He doesn't condemn him for having good crops. He's been blessed with the crops. He's condemned because he fails to share them. Because he fails to share the abundance that he's been given. What matters to God is where we give. How we give. That we give. Now he's going to make the pitch for money, right? It'd be easy. I'm tempted to be honest, because we're behind on the ADA, but that's not what I'm talking about. This runs far deeper, far deeper. Here's what I want you to give. I count five of you that have lost someone in the last year. Those are five that I know of. I know there's probably more of you. But I count five people here whose people I buried in the last year or so. I know two families going through real difficult problems with their kids. At least two breakups in the last 6 months. And a whole host of job trouble. I know you, most of you at least. I know where you're coming from. I know what you're carrying. That's what I want you to give. That's what I want you to hand over. I don't want you to store up your anxiety. I don't want you to collect your fears. I don't want you to guard jealously your worst nightmare. I want that to go on the altar today. I want that to be offered with the Lord in sacrifice. Because nothing in your life will ever ultimately change until you're willing to give God all of it. Not just the polite bits. Not just the bits that make you feel good about yourself. not just the bits you want to show to other people, like, say, at church. No. I want the ugly, the sick, the twisted. I want the parts of you that you can't admit to yourself. I want the resentments and the simmering hatreds, the hurts 30 years gone that you thought you'd passed up and still wake you up at night. I want the anxieties about your future or your kid's future, the worries about whether things will turn out or not. I want the stuff you don't want. I want that here on the altar today. I want you to open up the storehouses of your life, and I want you to give that over to the Lord, because that is how we come to a vision as a people. That's how we begin to draw closer to Christ as individuals. That's how we ultimately bring people into encounter with the Lord Jesus. The reason the church offers Mass every day, the reason we insist on the Mass as a sacrifice, is because Jesus is constantly offering himself for you. He's in an act of constant sacrifice to the Father. Jesus isn't being sacrificed over and over again, but his will is forever leaned to God for you. His heart is forever broken open out of love for you. His life is forever laid down for you. The question is not what matters most to God. I think you know that, at least more or less. No. The question is what matters most to you. Whether you're willing to do the same. Where, how, what, and to whom you're willing to give.